they are to be seen in the light of the ideal of our life. And it is the important thing is that it gives you the ideal and that path, that through these conflicts how we find the path to our ultimate goal. We all know life is full of conflicts, the conflicting pulls that our desires exert on our minds is the experience of all. And in that sense, the problem that this Arjuna was facing is the problem of all of us. So, how to select from these different alternatives, using what criterion, and how to stick to it while we are getting pulled in various directions. So, it is told by Lord Krishna that you have to keep on working, but with the spirit of detachment. This detachment should not be confused as insensitivity or callousness. It is not lack of love. Sometimes detachment connotes to people that it is lack of sensitivity or lack of consideration for others. That is not the meaning of detachment. In one interfaith gathering, when we were discussing this idea, how to do our work, when I used the word detachment, one of the ministers, religious leaders there, said, "What do you mean detachment?" Once she had also objected about it, saying that, "What do you mean? Detached? No concern for others. Suppose I am walking in front of you and I fall, won't you come to help me?" That is not detachment, that is callousness. That is insensitivity. Detachment means, yes, you serve others, but do not get attached into it. You serve others, don't expect any result by that to yourself. Just work and don't expect anything. Don't expect any results to accrue from your work. Thus what happens is you do your work excellently, very nicely. You become the most, in fact, useful part of the social structure, because then you are not selfish. And yet, you are not caught in the net of works. Otherwise, what happens is, we never complete our works. One work leads to another. That is, we all experience that the life is goes on with the various complicated works attaching themselves to us, and we do not know how to extricate ourselves through that. And this problem is solved by doing our work in a scientific way. The work has to be understood and done in a scientific way, so that you will do work, but you will not get caught. You will eat the honey, but will not get the honey will not get stuck to all your person. So otherwise, a child eating the honey means it is a nightmare to the mother, and to how to, you know, wash the child afterwards is difficult. The honey is here, everywhere, all the clothes, probably except mouth, everybody, everywhere you see honey. So it is, our work also happens in that fashion, that you go to do work, and then the work sticks to you. You do not know then how to extricate yourself from that work. In fact, this example Sri Ramakrishna used to give, that he used to give the example of cutting a jackfruit. Here you probably hardly anybody has seen how a raw jackfruit is cut for cooking. A nice curry is made out of it. So, it is when you cut the jackfruit, there is lot of gum-like substance coming out, very sticky. And If you are not careful, your whole hands, everything gets stuck to that. And it is not at all then a pleasant experience. Not only that, you will not be able to complete the work properly. Because you can't use the knife, because it is all stuck, you know. So, you will not be able to use the instruments also correctly, because you get stuck into it. You get so involved into it, that day you shut the passage behind it to come out. You know? The proper, like the some operation you are performing, then you get into it and then come out of it. Don't get stuck in it. So, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, first apply oil to your hands, then go to cut that jackfruit. What is this oil? The oil, he says, the oil of detachment. That don't expect anything out of it. Don't expect a big success that then lot of people will be applauding me of this work and I will become a big celebrity. Don't expect anything. Don't expect that people will come and pour money for me. Don't expect anything. Just do your work. Results will come of itself. This is another question that we need to understand. Many times people ask this question that if I am not going to expect anything, how shall I do the work? It is because, for example, I teach at the school. Because, you know, they give me my monthly remuneration that, yes, I work and they pay me for that, I expect, and so I work. If I don't expect, then how can I work? The trouble is, here we mix up. You get the money not because of your expectation, but because of your work. It doesn't really depend on your expectation. Otherwise, you may expect that from next month my monthly emoluments will be 5 millions. Is it going to happen just because of expectation? Your check is not going to be $5 million. The check does not depend on how much you expect. But it automatically comes to you because of your work. What expectations do is just to bind you down. Expectations don't do anything else, but they just bind you down. They make you slaves. So, and you lose all the happiness that comes from inside. Happiness always comes from freedom, not from bondage. So, therefore work, but don't get attached. Don't get caught. And various ideas about it have been discussed in the third chapter, threadbare, that you may not be able to do it immediately because all those habits are there, working with the expectations, getting attached. So in one fine morning, not that you decided to work in a detached manner and from next morning you started working like that. It requires a long, assiduous practice that you see, go from step to next step, and thus you improve yourself. You gradually then become adept in working in the detached fashion. So, that also has been told that you learn first work with this attitude that whatever you get, you learn to give accordingly. Don't just try to get, but give for what you get. That is an education. Our idea is to get free. So anything dangled before us, free. Big ads are there, free. You know, the big other things are written in tiny, small letters. But the big ad, that word is free. And then your eyes become big. Even though the letters are big enough, your eyes become big. And say, wow, what is that they are giving for free? And then later on you learn, things are taken from you incognito. You are not aware, you are robbed in fact. It is because nothing comes for free. They say that the bold print giveth and fine print taketh away. So it is nothing you can get for free. But we need to, you know, voluntarily understand this, that for whatever we get, we ought to give. And giving brings more joy in life. We will understand this, we all know this actually, that when you give something to others, you feel a different kind of joy, which is more sublime and also lasts for a long time. It is when you understand that giving makes you happier, then you learn, no, why should I wait to get for giving? I can just give. Shouldn't keep on waiting to get. Let me just give, because giving brings more joy in my life. So you give without expecting anything. So that is how you progress gradually. And then you see, who am I to give? It is, after all, the Lord's work. Lord does. I am no one. So that is the stage where you then completely surrender yourself to God, become an instrument in the hands of the Divine, and your life becomes illumined thereby. So it is in that sense it is said that everything that you offer to God, that becomes a very successful action. When you are offering something to God, then that is the your whatever things you have, then they are worth having when they are kept as offering to God. When one doesn't do that, then one gets tied up, bound by those very things. And instead of those things being useful to us, they become bondage to us. We can think of, you know, all the collections that we make in life, fill our house, then don't know what to do with them. It becomes a big burden. It becomes a terrible thing what to do with all those accumulations, because we have not thought of all those things as belonging to God. So the more I think that they are my possessions, they sit on my head. They become burden. When you take off the burden, naturally you feel light, you know, you feel happy. If I put, say, a ton of load on somebody's head, will that person feel happy because of the weight, or when I take off the weight, the person will feel relaxed and happy? We all know when the weight is unburdened, then you feel happy. So similarly, let us do our works without burdening ourselves with the tension of it, through the expectations of it, and the works will get done better when we know that, well, God is doing the work, I am just an instrument. Then you are not worried about it. Just as when you use the pen to write something, the pen is not worried about the quality of the writing, whether it is nicely written, whether people will appreciate it or doesn't. Pen does its work just as an instrument. So let us become just like instruments, free, and doing the work like the instruments makes us free. A song that Sri Ramakrishna used to sing was like that. It is a very famous Bengali song. Shokoli tumari ichha, ichha moi tumi tara. Tumar korma tumi koroma. That, oh my Divine Mother, that whatever happens is through your wish. Your wish works. I am just an instrument. Ami jantra tumi jantri. I am just a machine. You are the operator of the machine. The Shakespeare's pen means the pen doesn't get any big credit. We don't say that Hamlet is written by this pen. We say Hamlet is written by Shakespeare. The pen, so like that, let us become the instruments. then what happens is our life becomes free from all these troubles. It is very important to learn to practice that. Then in this chapter, fourth chapter we were studying last time, that Lord was telling that this is not something new that I have been telling. This knowledge is eternal. I had told this. The first three verses that we saw last time, they said that this knowledge was given by God Himself to Vivasvan, the firstborn. These theories of creation in, not exactly theories, they are more like stories, like you find in Bible, that Noah's Ark and all that. So, similar stories are there in the Hindu mythology also. And there you have this firstborn, then that firstborn got this knowledge. Then he passed it on over the generation. But while it was being practiced by people, it got corrupt in the course of time. The time has this problem, you know, everything gets spoiled in time. Nothing, the building is very nice, let 20, 25, 30, 40 years pass. If you don't maintain it, it starts crumbling down. You need to take care of it. Time causes this deterioration in everything. Over the time, you say, like you cook some nice food, you eat, it tastes very nice. Keep it like that for a month and then go to it, it will start smelling, you know. It is not then worth eating anymore. So, similarly, this message given by Lord. Now the message is good, excellent, but human beings through their own desires corrupt it. That because I want something as my desire, do not want to give up that, and yet want the satisfaction of following the Lord's advice. So what do I do? I make some interpolations there, some changes there, and then feel that I am, while I am actually doing something different, yet I satisfy myself and others that I am observing the injunctions of God. There is one distinct sect in India. They are worshippers of Lord Vishnu, and they are supposed, the scriptures tells them, and they take that vow also, that I will not eat any non-vegetarian food, no fish or other things. But there was one king, he became Vaishnava, and he decided he will give up all eating all this thing, because he wanted to get that credit of being, you know, a great religious devout king. But there is this desire to eat fish. So he told many scholars of the scriptures, hey, find out if some scriptural loophole is there or not, so that I can eat fish. And these priests and all, the more money you give them, they can do anything for you, you know. That their charge becomes like that, that's all. That is, so when they were paid enough money, they found this in some scripture, that those five fishes, five varieties, if you can eat them, they are to be considered as not non-vegetarians. They are to be considered as vegetarian food. Panchamatsya niramishaha. So those which are normally eaten in Bengal, those fish then were all considered as vegetarian fish. Then, but the king wanted to eat the other type of fish also. So he gave them more money, and then they studied more. Studied means distorted more, you know, how one word can be combined with the other word, and another word can be brought there, and then other interpretations are possible. And then they told, you know, the scriptures tell that if you cook, with some ginger, then all food can be considered as a vegetarian food. Just use some ginger for that. So then the king became happy. So like that, our desires make us bring corruption to our ideas. It is so. If the scriptures want me to do something, then, and if I don't like it, if it goes against my desires, then it is I twist the scripture. Instead of changing myself, we are very inertiatic. Instead of bringing about change in ourselves, then we bring about change in the scripture and feel that we are following it. So Lord therefore says, I have to come again and again to give this message. This question was asked there by Arjuna while Lord was telling in the fourth verse. Arjuna begins his question. While Krishna was telling, he says, wait a minute. I don't understand what you are talking. You said that you gave this knowledge to the firstborn. But you and I are similar age. You are not much older than me. And what nonsense you are talking. He didn't use that word, but the meaning was quite apparent. That this is all baloney you are talking to me. It doesn't make sense. How could you tell that knowledge so many thousands of years ago? You are just born along with me. Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvatah, kathametad vijaniyam, tvamadau proktavaniti. The fourth verse of the fourth chapter. Later is your birth and Vivaswan's birth earlier. How am I to understand this, that you taught this to the Vivaswan, the firstborn, in the beginning? Now, how am I to understand? I don't get it. You were not contemporary to Vivaswan. You are just my contemporary. How could you have imparted that knowledge thousands of years ago to Vivaswan? Is it possible? It is not possible. Triveni cannot say that I taught this yoga. Triveni cannot say that I taught this yoga to my great grandmother. It is silly. How could you teach it to your great grandmother? It is not possible. You know, all right, but then how you can teach somebody like me? You see me, we are contemporaries. You can teach me. That is fine. I understand. But how could you teach that somebody who was born hundreds of years ago, and here Krishna is telling about thousands of years back, something many, many eons ago. How could you teach him? So Arjuna is saying that it doesn't make sense to me. And Lord Krishna smilingly gives this answer. Oh, you fellow, you are attached to the body. You not only attach, you identify yourself to the body and think that you are this body. No, that is not true. Just as you do not become different by changing the clothes. This tapas had come yesterday here with different clothing. Do I say now because he has changed his dress, hey, you are a different person? No. If he says to me yesterday, yes, you know, Swami, you told me yesterday to come, I have come. And if I say, no, you are a different fellow because he comes in a different dress, said, well, the dress has changed. I have not changed. So the body is like a dress, you know. We have put on a body, but then got identified got mixed up with that and think that I am this body. We do not even feel this contradiction that the body keeps on changing. It is just a sequence of chemical reactions that we call a body. Whereas this knowledge that I am the same, that shows that I am not this changing body. Do we not reflect on that? I cannot be this continuously changing body. I put on many bodies, but then forget, get identified. But Lord doesn't forget. Lord says here that, look, you know, oh Arjuna, my dear friend, he tells Arjuna, bahuni me, very beautiful words, bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. The Blessed Lord said, many lives have I passed, also yourself. I know them all, but you do not know them. This is the difference. That Lord knows that the body is just taken up. I like to go to different places, like if you want to go to snow skiing, you need different, for that purpose you have to put on some different type of shoes and different gear you have to carry with you. If you are, say, going on a different trip, different this thing, if you are, say, a football player, then you cannot go in your ordinary dress to play football. You have to put on that football gear. So similarly, the dresses change according to the purpose. The person remains the same in and through all these different dresses. But because of identification, I forget that this robe of Yogatmananda, this body, is just a temporarily taken something for a purpose, and that is that body is not I. And we have to remember this. This is what Lord says, that I know it, you don't. Therefore you ask me this silly question that how could I have taught it earlier? We have spent life, I and you both had many past births. And the trouble with you is you don't remember them. I remember all of them. There is no ignorance in Lord. And the teacher has no ignorance. The student has ignorance. So, the student's understanding has to match teacher's understanding. That is the purpose of teaching. What a teacher does is, teacher knows something. The student doesn't know that. If student already knows, then doesn't need to come to the teacher to learn. The teacher knows. Student doesn't know. So student approaches the teacher. Now the teacher tells student what is happening in the course of teaching. The understanding of the student is getting transformed, coming closer and closer to the understanding of the teacher. And when their understanding is now on the same plane, no further necessity of teaching. I had sometimes told that a nice story in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna has told this story to indicate the purpose of teaching. There was a great sage, Narada. So this story is told about Sukha. And Sukha comes to King Janaka to learn. He said that, oh, please teach me. And Janaka said, okay, I have no problem, I'll teach you. But first you have to give my fees. Give my fees first. The student said that, oh, I have no objection in paying the fee, I will pay fees, but will it not do if you teach me first and then I will pay the fees? What is wrong in that? Don't you trust me? The teacher said, no, pay the fee first. Why? Because he said, after the teaching is imparted, the difference between teacher and taught will vanish. And therefore then later on I will not be able to accept a fee from you. Now you are taught and I am teacher. Now if you give, then I will accept. And see the great efficacy of teaching is also told there. What a great faith this teacher had in the teaching and also in the student. That yes, if you get this teaching, then you and me, so far as the level of knowledge goes, will be exactly identical. So, therefore the teaching is like that. Arjuna is being taught. So, Arjuna's understanding also gradually will have to change. And as we say, it is changing. The students of Bhagavad Gita right from the first chapter will notice this, that gradually the nature of Arjuna's questions also is changing. First his question was just like any ordinary man's question being scorched by the various problems in this world. And we all faced these problems and thus feel this suffering. So Arjuna just asked Lord that this terrible suffering that I am going through, just show me the way out of it. The question didn't have any obvious spiritual intent. He did not ask anything that tell me about God, tell me about the goal of life. He did not say a word about it. The question was very simple, most mundane, the problem that is faced by all of us, that we all suffer, we all feel from time to time these very nagging, difficult problems that bog us down, and we want the solution, how to come out of it. So that was the simple, most mundane question with which the teachings of Bhagavad Gita begin. But gradually the nature of the questions is changing. The answers also are correspondingly changing. It is, Lord here tells that, look, we have all different times, we have taken different bodies. You confuse between the body and you. I don't. And therefore, what I told that I had given this knowledge thousands of years ago to the firstborn, that is true. I am not lying to you. And now the same knowledge I am giving to you because you are my friend and devotee. So this knowledge comes to us. How? If we are friend to God. Instead of being friends just to each other, not that we should become inimical to each other, but forming friendship with God is very important. Then that divine knowledge through that relationship flows into us. So this knowledge is being given to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us by God. And here then starts a very important part of this discussion of Bhagavad Gita, that is the wonderful concept of God assuming human form. The God assumes the human form. You see these ideas in ideas of God incarnating as man, or even the general ideas of reincarnation, even in Bible. You may not get those teachings from many of the churches, but if you study Bible, you will see there are many, many hints where Jesus tells about reincarnation. In fact, he tells about himself that he was the Abraham and all that. He the same person has come up again, and the same teachings are being given, but in a different setup, on a different platform, because the situation has changed. The background on which this teaching is to be given, that has become different. The format therefore has to be changed. Like you all work with the computers these days, if you have stored a file in a particular format, and if your new system doesn't support that format, then that file will not, you will not be able to open that file. Many old files, suppose you had stored something in computer 25 years ago in some format, that format is now not available on modern machines, the system is different, so you would need a converter to convert that. Through conversion, then you can bring it to the level of the new, this thing. So the same teachings have to be now put on the modern platform. So God incarnates again and again in flesh and blood, so that we will be able to understand these teachings. This is a very important concept that has been beautifully illustrated, very logically elaborated in Bhagavad Gita. This concept you don't find in the Upanishads, the basic fundamental scriptures of Vedanta, the Upanishads. There you do not find a mention of this. But in Bhagavad Gita, this has been illustrated in a very beautiful way. And here it begins, that how it happens, the next some of the next verses, they are very important from this point of view. The sixth verse.
Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya.
Though I am birthless, immutable and the lord of creatures, yet restoring to my prakriti, I come into being through my own inscrutable power, Maya. It is the birth of the Lord. A Lord assuming human form is not like the birth of the ordinary people. I and you, we all are born because of our past actions. The bondage of our past actions have forced us into this body. We had really no choice in that matter. It is a forced entry in the body. We had to come to body. But in case of Lord, it is something assumed of the own free will. A good analogy would be, suppose one is caught committing some robbery or something, and then will be put to jail. Because of his crime, going to jail for him is not a matter of choice. I will go or I will not go. No, you have committed this crime, you ought to go. You are forced to go to jail. You will be forced into a jail because of your crime. But somebody may just go to see the jail, how it works. Let me see how the functioning of the jail is. So one can go there just to look. And that is a matter of choice, one's own free will. That through that free will, the person has gone to jail. It is a matter of freedom. For lords, taking the body is therefore entirely different than ordinary human beings. They are forced into the body. We are all having these different bodies because of our various different desires. And through the body we are supposed to fulfill those desires or understand that they will not be fulfilled and thus emancipate from this bondage of body. That is why the body is given to us as an instrument to become free. So, but for Lord, the body is just assumed through this self freedom. There is no bondage there. Just to help others in the prison, like somebody goes to the prison to help the prisoners. Some go to teach them, some go to distribute some fruits and other things to them. Some go for various reasons, other reasons to help. So, the Lord goes to this world amongst us as human being. And for what? To help us to understand that we are also not these bodies. We are immortal. We are divine. This understanding of our own divinity, that is being given by God. When we see in another human body the play of divinity, an unhindered play of divinity is seen in another human body, then Yogatmananda also thinks, wait a minute, this fellow also is like a human being like me, has the same two eyes and a nose and two ears and two legs and two hands. I am also like him. If he is divine, then this fellow also is divine. So that is the idea, God becomes man so that man may become God. So not only Lord Krishna is immortal, not only Lord Krishna is divine, each of us is divine, friends. Each of us. The difference is only here. He knows it, you don't know it. It is when we get this knowledge, you are divine. Then you won't have those petty desires of, say, getting some enjoyment from here and there, because you know that you are bliss itself. Then your joys will not be in those silly candies, you see. Then you know that you yourself are bliss. You put bliss into the candy. It is you put bliss in this person and that person. It is you who put bliss in music. Music does not give you bliss, friends. It is you who have put the bliss in music. And now feel that the music is giving bliss. Like many human beings now feel that the Google gives them knowledge. Who put that information in Google? Google did not generate it. You and I put it there and now feel that, wow, the Google brings information to us. It is not, Google doesn't generate it. It is you and I who put it there. And then think that, well, Google is giving it to me. It is not that. The tail doesn't wag the dog. It is the dog that wags the tail. So, it is not that the music brings happiness to me. It is I who have given happiness to music. And when we know that, all desires vanish. And you become free. The desires are signs of imperfection. It is, when do I get desire? When I feel lack of something. Desire means lack. I don't have this, I need this. That is the meaning of desire. And so desire is a sign of imperfection. When one realizes this perfection, I am divine, then what do you lack now? Now there is no function of any desire possible there. So this is what happens when you know that the Lord assumes this body. This verse is very important verse, that unborn, we are also unborn like Lord. Reflect it on yourself too, that you are also unborn. Body is born, you know. You are not born with the body. You are there. You took a body, just as when you put on a shirt, you were not born, you just put on a shirt. So you put on this body and you think that, well, I was born. And because of identification with body, you get this funny, foolish idea that I was born on such and such date. No, no, you were never born. The body gets born. The body grows. The body is discarded. Just as when your shirt becomes too old, worn and torn, you discard it. So the body also is discarded, you see. It is burnt or buried, and that's about it, you know, gone. Here today, gone tomorrow, we say. From the dust you come, unto dust you go. That is the body. You are not that. You are the user of this body. For a time being, you took it for use. You are aja, means unborn. You were never born. You have no death either. And you are the Lord of the matter. The matter is subservient to you. You are the pure consciousness. You are not this matter. So, you are the Lord of the matter. You are not governed by the matter, but you are the governor of the matter. And like that, we have to understand from the Lord this beautiful science, and we will continue to study as we progress in this chapter. It is, today is the Rama's birthday, another incarnation of God. The incarnation took place on this auspicious day many, many thousands years ago. So to remember Rama, one of the very beautiful description of Rama says, similarly as we read here, Svalilaya jagatratum avirbhutam ajam vibhum, that by one's own sportive action, the Lord, who is unborn, has taken human form to show the human beings the way of emancipation. They all therefore become saviors of mankind. And the all religions, you will see that they revolve around these great personages. And whatever big religions you see in the world, they all derive their sustenance from such great persons like Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Rama, Krishna, Ramakrishna. All these are these divinities assuming human form to help mankind. So, we will continue this study. Do you have any questions? Yes, John?
Yes. We have a little problem with the tennis analogy.
Which analogy?
Pen,
yeah, right.
Because a pen doesn't really make the choice. It's more like a tool. You know, the pen could be written, like, let's say, sign great legislation, but you could also be you could also be Adolf Hitler's pen.
Exactly.
And writing off very evil things.
Exactly.
I would rather think of a pen maybe with some kind of a sensor attached to it, something like a lie detector.
Well,
say no. Or you can say, I think I'll stay on the desk and not be used.
When actually, if the analogy is very good analogy, in fact, what you say is correct in terms of, you know, if you imagine that the evil intentions are not of the pen but of the writer, or the good intentions are also of the writer. Here, when we are the instruments of God, God has no really any evil intention. So when we become instrument of God, that is, they automatically, that what you were thinking gets fulfilled, you know. You will always be instrument in the best possible, most ethical, most moral hands. Yes, Jamuna Bhai? That's right, yeah, it's a good question. The memory is, two types of memory is there. One memory, since you all study, you work on computers, I can give that analogy. There is some storage while you are just working on the computer. Because now you are identified with, I am so and so, I am Jamuna. So it has a conflict with cockroach body. But when you know that you are not this body either, then you can impartially look upon all these different bodies with joy, that wow, I came through so many different bodies. Those Buddha's Jataka stories, you know, they are like that. Jataka stories of Buddha, that how many different births he had taken, what he was there. So it's like that. It is called Jati Smaratva, that you remember all your births. Yes, Chris?
Swamiji, this may be a related question, but if divine incarnations choose to incarnate of their free will,
yeah,
why is it that when you study the lives of some incarnations, they seem not to know that they are God earlier in their life? That it seems that they come to that knowledge through a gradual process.
Well, actually, they know it right from the birth. That is the difference. But that knowledge is not expressed right from the birth, because the expression comes from the instrument of the brain and other things. They need to be developed to that level. The knowledge is not absent there. The knowledge is not gotten through learning again. But the knowledge that is there, it is awaiting the development of brain to that level. If you study even therefore the childhood, early this thing of the great incarnations, you will see that they were divine right from their birth. Even their birth is not an ordinary birth. It is without a sexual contact that they had their births. It is not that they were born like human beings. It is they had this knowledge right from their coming, their assuming this body. And they wait till the brain matures to that extent. If you see the life of Sri Ramakrishna, you will see even as he was born, after a few days, he did a few things, but then they were all, so people thought that it was probably something that they misunderstood, didn't properly get to it. So, and the boy was then growing up normally, but didn't, still, there were some instances in the childhood of his seeing the ultimate divine, this thing, visions. In the life of Jesus also you find that even as a small boy, he went into that temple and silenced many scholars who were disputing. and also drove away all those people who were doing that merchandise there. So it is, you will see that the manifestations of divine are there in the life of Lord Rama or Lord Krishna. You will see again the similar things. So they are there, but it awaits the manifestation awaits the maturity of brain. Yes?
Now, what are some practical steps to take to become more detached and more loving?
Well, we had discussed some of them, and we will be discussing more gradually. Some of these steps is whenever we are doing any action, the best thing is to think of oneself as instrument of God. If that is not, that memory doesn't come. When we are doing action, sometimes this impulses and the other forces are so strong in us that we forget. We just impulsively jump into the action. But then after the action, pray to God, surrender the results of action to the God. Those who have a devotional bent of mind, for them it becomes very easy. For those who do not have faith in God, they also can do it. This science is such that you don't have to believe in God or anything. You don't need, if you believe in yourself, fine. It is just think that this work that I am doing, if I do it in a detached way, it helps me. So if you remind yourself with this, of this thought, that detached work helps me, then that will make you work in a detached fashion. Just as anything that you know is going to help you, you do it. Anything that harms you, you refrain from doing it. But because of habit, you require a lot of time to practice that. Like some addicted to smoking, you know, it is difficult for them to give up smoking. It is so how to do that? Well, tell again and again to yourself, the smoking is harmful to you. It is. You try through this process, gradually you acquire mastery over that. You can take some secondary helps, like something, so that is how the devotion helps, you know. That is why in the AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, they tell about taking the help of God to get rid of somebody who is beyond this. Think of that person who is beyond this. Take help of that. That will make you come out of it easier. So that they are some of the practical ends. We will keep on studying them. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्रविस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनेसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।